Blog Talk Radio.
Shelby J. and Liv Warfield.
MPG. You know they're of MPG, Shelby Jean Liv Warfield. I mean, a Prince promotion, a Prince presentation. Shelby J and Liv Warfield, with New Power Generation, of his group, New Power Generation, featuring MPG horns. And every night will be special guests. And the dates are from August the 20th to the 25th. And Prince's own DJ Dudley D will be there. And the event will be at the City Winery, New York. And you can visit the website at citywinery.com and also call at 212-608-0555, City Winery, New York, 155 Barrick Street, New York, New York. So you guys have fun. The tickets are like $75 and $150 other than Sunday. I believe they're between $200 and $350. But visit the website and you'll get all the 411 on it. And also call, again, 212-608-0555. Big shout out to Prince, too. You know, I would tell you guys to link up with Third Eye Girl at Livestream, to follow their Livestream profile. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter, Third Eye Girl. Prince has been tweeting this week from the Third Eye Girl tweet name. So he's been tweeting and posting pictures and all that. So follow Third Eye Girl and tweet and retweet and network with Prince and Third Eye Girl. I've been tweeting with him. Glad to see my friend back tweeting. You guys remember before when he was on Twitter, some of you guys didn't believe it was him, but it was actually Prince tweeting. But we're talking about entrepreneurship and U.S. job market in the U.S., and we can talk about it worldwide. We want to call in and talk about what's going on, especially my friends across the pond. But the entrepreneurship, as you know, Ebony Empress and I, we're always talking about entrepreneurship and small business and just the alliance that the U.K. and U.S. has. But we're discussing entrepreneurship and the job market here in the U.S. And pretty much it's already the topic also for this coming up Monday, too. So I guess you could say it's a two-part because, of course, we're talking NFL preseason and also other sports news. And there's been a lot of news, period, that's been happening, right? Good and not so good, and so on. So, you know, happy birthday, Monta. Still the fellow August babies and Leos and Virgos out there. I have been really giddy, but, you know, many of you, some of you might not know that I lost my 8-year-old pooch Cinnamon my birthday weekend. And so on my birthday, not only was I celebrating my birthday, but also having a funeral for my beloved pet, which our daughters and I, we still miss her happy presence because we thought she was on the road to recovery because she was looking good and appeared to be feeling good and all that. So thank you to those of you that have been sending me birthday wishes and also sending condolences regarding the loss of my pooch Cinnamon. But right here, I'm looking at entrepreneurship, and it's been a favorite topic of mine since I was a kid. And that's the free enterprise system, and being an entrepreneur and small business ownership, and also researching corporations. You know, love to be in the know what's going on with corporations. How did many of our corporations start out? From entrepreneurs and small business owners, right? They didn't just appear as big conglomerate companies. They started with an idea for entrepreneurship, how are jobs created through entrepreneurship, right? So we hear different reports and stats regarding the job market here in the U.S. and around the world. But first of all, the definition of entrepreneurship, Wikipedia version goes as this. Entrepreneurship is the act and art of being an entrepreneur, or one who undertakes innovations are introducing new things, finance, and business acumen. In an effort to transform innovations into economic goods, this may result in new organizations or may be part of revitalizing mature organizations in response to a perceived opportunity. The most obvious form of entrepreneurship is that of starting new businesses, referred as startup companies. We always hear that, right? Startup companies or new business is referred to as a startup company. You know, I'm always promoting and letting you guys know what's going on with SBA Gov, and I recommend if you're considering or if you're a veteran business to network and get involved with what SBA.gov has to offer. I'm just loving it. And you can, you know, get information regarding your business plan, getting needed capital loans, grants, et cetera. You know, or just how to properly manage your staff if it's just you or if you have a staff, you know. And also partnering up with other larger companies. So SBA.gov is very highly recommended for entrepreneurs and those looking to hire staff members or to partner up with others. And just to get that information and that free and to attend workshops and get training online or in person. So it's important to sign up. If you just visit the website and sign up to receive information from the office in your state, that would be good. And I know they have a conference coming up at Alcorn on the 24th. That's on next Saturday. This same day, the CARA event is happening at the Pulliahatchee Lakeshore. Pulliahatchee Shore Park at the reservoir too. But I know there's going to be an SBA conference happening at Alcorn, and Rosetta Harris has been sending me information. And then I had seen SBA representatives on Midday Mississippi earlier this week. Talk about the preference of the conference that will be happening at Alcorn, the SBA conference. So if you're in that area or would drive to Alcorn, that would be probably a really good investment of your time off of spend. And the CARA event is free on the 24th of August, but, you know, it's good to bring a donation, pet food, or items that the pets need. You can visit CARAMississippi.org for more information regarding that. But back to the definition of startup, because there's even, there are magazines and periodicals that you can always check out, like Entrepreneur Magazine, Fast Company. There's the Black Enterprise. There's some amazing magazines out there that help guide entrepreneurs and business owners out there on their path. You know, we can never learn enough, can we not? The most obvious form of entrepreneurship is that of starting a new business, referred as startup company. However, in recent years, the term has been extended to include social and political forms of entrepreneurial activity. When entrepreneurship is described in activities with firm or large organization, it is referred to as intrapreneurship. Intra, I-N-T-R-A hyphen P-R-E-N-E-U-R-S-I-P. It may include corporate venturing when large entities spin off organizations. According to Paul Reynolds, entrepreneurship scholar and creator of the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, by the time they reach their retirement years, half of all working men and women in the United States probably have a period of self-employment. Of one or more years, one in four may have engaged in self-employment for 6 or more years. Participating in new business creation is a common activity among U.S. workers over the course of their careers, and in recent years has been documented by scholars such as David Aldrich to be a major driver of economic growth in both the United States and Western Europe. As well as entrepreneurship may be defined as the pursuit of opportunity without regard to resources currently controlled, and that's Stevenson, 1983. Entrepreneurial activities are substantially different depending on the type of organization and creativity involved. Entrepreneurship ranges in scale from solo projects, even involving entrepreneur only part-time, to major undertakings, creating many job opportunities. Many high-value entrepreneurial ventures seek venture capital. And, you know, I've done shows about venture capital, and then also known as angel funding, seed money. You know, I've done shows dedicated to that topic alone. In order to raise capital to build the business, angel investors generally seek annualized returns of 20 to 30% and more. as well as business and your investors, as well as the sense of involvement in the business. Many CAS organizations now exist to support would-be entrepreneurs, including specialized government agencies, business incubators. You know, most cities have business incubators. You know, places where the businesses can pretty much, you know, a starting point. Science parks and some NGOs. In more recent times, the term entrepreneurship has been extended to include elements not related necessarily to business formation activities, such as conceptualization of entrepreneurship as a specific mindset, and then also known as entrepreneur mindset, resulting in entrepreneur initiatives. Example, in the form of social entrepreneurship, political entrepreneurship, or knowledge entrepreneurship have emerged. So this is like just different types. But the history right here, as I look at Wikipedia, goes on to say that the entrepreneur is a factor in microeconomics. And the study of entrepreneurship reaches back to the work of Richard Cotillion and Adam Smith in the late 17th and early 18th centuries, but was largely ignored theoretically until the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and empirically until a profound resurgence in business and economics in the last 40 years. In the 20th century, the understanding of entrepreneurship owes much to the work of economist Joseph Schumpeter in the 1930s and other Austrian economists such as Karl Menger, Ludwig von Mises, and Friedrich von Hayek. And then they go on to talk about what these different gentlemen did, and then go into talking about the characteristics of an entrepreneur. Okay, Schumpeter. In Schumpeter, an entrepreneur is a person who is willing and able to convert a new idea or invention into successful innovation. You know, I'm in the process now as an inventor in talks with Davidson. I'm in confidential talks with Davidson and with New Show Studios with Davidson regarding the invention idea. And I hope this invention, I hope the process has been pleasing as of now. So I hope that it will be a popular item that all of you, most of you, will be purchasing. And so it would not only be an invention then, but a successful innovation then. And it goes on to say that entrepreneurship employs what Schumpeter called the gale of creative destruction to replace in whole and part inferior innovations across markets and industries, simultaneously creating new products, including new business models. In this way, creative destruction is largely responsible for the dynamicism of industries and long-run economic growth. The supposition that entrepreneurship leads to economic growth is the interpretation of the residual and endogenous growth theory, and as such, hotly debated in academic economics. An alternate description posited by Israel Kirshner suggests that the majority of innovations may be much more incremental improvements, such as the replacement of paper with plastic and the construction of a drinking straw. But Schumpeter, entrepreneurship resulted in new industries, but also in new combinations of currently existing inputs. Exactly. You can be to improve something. Inventions and innovations can be to improve an existing item or product. Schumpeter, and that's me talking. Schumpeter's initial example of this was the combination of a steam engine and then current wagon making technologies to produce the horseless carriage. In this case, the innovation, the car, was transformational, but did not require the development of new technology, merely the application of existing technologies in a novel manner. It did not immediately replace the horse-drawn carriage, but in time, incremental improvements, which reduced the cost and improved the technology, led to the complete practical replacement of beast-drawn vehicles in modern transportation. Despite Schumpeter's early 20th century contributions, traditional microeconomic theory did not formally consider the entrepreneur in its theoretical framework, instead assuming that resources would find each other through a price system. In this treatment, the entrepreneur was an implied but unspecified been the agent of efficiency. Different scholars have described entrepreneurs as, among other things, bearing risk. But Schumpeter, the entrepreneur, did not bear risk, the capitalist did. And then they go on to talk about, in the definition of entrepreneurship, Knight and Drucker. But Frank H. Knight, 1921, and Peter Drucker, 1970, entrepreneurship is about taking risks. The behavior of the entrepreneur reflects the kind of person willing to put his or her career and financial security on the line and take risks in the name of an idea. They have much time as well as capital on an uncertain venture. Sounds like a lot of you, right? And then the way the job market is going in some places, some people, you know, something that you might find successful in making money off of as a hobby has turned to your full-fledged career, right, your full-fledged business. Some of you have just have intentionally started a business, and some of you have just started a business, become an entrepreneur just because of your love for something. And that's amazing right there. That's a blessing. But it goes back into risk is measurable statistically, such as the probability of drawing a red color ball from a jar containing 5 red balls and 5 white balls. And this is ambiguity, which is hard to measure statistically, such as the probability of drawing a red ball from a jar containing 5 red balls versus an unknown number of white balls. And then there's the true uncertainty, a heightened uncertainty, which is impossible to estimate or predict statistically, such as the probability of drawing a red ball from a jar whose number of red balls is unknown, as well as the number of other colored balls. The acts of entrepreneurship are often associated with true uncertainty, particularly when it involves bringing something really novel to the world whose market never exists. That is amazing. However, even if a market already exists, there's no guarantee that a market exists for a particular new player in the cola category. The place of the disharmony creating an idiosyncratic entrepreneur in traditional economic theory, in parentheses, which describes many efficiency-based ratios assuming uniform output, presents theoretic quandaries. William Barmore has added greatly to this area of economic theory, and was recently honored for it at the 2000th meeting of American Economic Association. And speaking of associations, you know, also being an entrepreneur, being a small business owner, not only is it important to, like, link up with Small Business Administration and other organizations, you know, even in your city, the local chamber of commerce, and, you know, attend workshops and become members. But then also, it's good to become a member of associations. If you're an entrepreneur by direct selling, it's good to, if not become a member, definitely network with direct selling association. I've been a longtime member of NAF, National Association for Female Executives and Entrepreneurs. You know, there's Small Business there's like numerous associations throughout nationwide and on a local level. So this goes on to the characteristics of an entrepreneur, because everybody's not an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs, wow, you really have to be self-motivated. And then, like I was saying, regarding the job market, sometimes how it is, some people, if you might not think you have the characteristics of an entrepreneur, but because you have an idea or you provide a product or service, and you have become an entrepreneur or a small business owner, there's some things that, you know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, but there's some things you have to deal with because you're an entrepreneur, if you want to or not. This is me talking. That happens to some people. Some people, you know, did you hear some people think, I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. I never thought I'd be a small business owner. But it happens. And Wikipedia states that the characteristics of an entrepreneur is that entrepreneurs have many of the same character traits as leaders, similar to the early great man's theories of leadership. However, trait-based theories of entrepreneurship are increasingly being called into question. Entrepreneurs are often contrasted with managers and administrators, who are said to be more methodical and less prone to risk-taking. such person-centric models of entrepreneurship are shown to be of questionable validity. So not least as many real-life entrepreneurs operate in teams rather than single individuals, and that's true. Concept, it has assumed super importance for accelerating economic growth both in developed and developing countries. It promotes capital formation and creates wealth in countries. It is hope and dreams of millions of individuals around the world. It reduces unemployment and poverty to be an entrepreneur. And it is a pathway to prosper. Entrepreneurship is the process of exploring opportunities in the marketplace and arranging resources required to exploit these opportunities for long-term gain. It is the process of planning, organizing opportunities, and assuming that it is a risk of business enterprise. It may be distinguished as an inability to take risk independently. To make utmost earnings in the market, it is a creative and innovative skill and adapt in response to the environment. And then there's promotion. Given entrepreneurship's potential to support economic growth, it is the policy goal of many governments to develop a culture of entrepreneurial thinking. Entrepreneurial thinking, this can be done in a number of ways by integrating entrepreneurship into education system. I was reading a message that popped up on my legislation to encourage risk-taking and national campaigns. An example of the latter is the United Kingdom's Enterprise Week. And, you know, just about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, Small Business Administration had Small Business Week in Washington, D.C. Many of these, and, you know, we were able to attend online. Those of us that did not go to Washington, D.C., I go to the other five major cities where events were being held. It goes on to say that many of these initiatives have been brought together under the umbrella of Global Entrepreneurship Week. Global, that means worldwide, right? A worldwide celebration and promotion of youth entrepreneurship, which started in 2008. And again, you know, youth entrepreneurship, again, I became intrigued with the thought of the entrepreneurship, the free enterprise system when I was a kid. I'm talking about a young kid. I became an entrepreneur at a very young age in elementary school. So it has always been one of my favorite and hot topics. Again, financial bootstrapping. Financial bootstrapping is a term used to cover different methods for avoiding using the financial resources of external investors. Bootstrapping can be defined as a collection of methods used to minimize the amount of outside debt and equity financing needed from banks and investors. The use of a private credit card debt is the most known form of bootstrapping, but a wide variety of methods are available for entrepreneurs. While bootstrapping involves a risk for the founders, the absence of any other stakeholder gives the founders more freedom to develop the company. Many successful companies, including Dell Computers and Facebook, were founded this way. And then they go on to share the different types of bootstrapping. And I know some of us might want to know more about bootstrapping. And then it goes into the area of owner financing, sweat equity, minimization of accounts payable, joint utilization, delaying payment, minimizing inventory, subsidy finance, and personal debt. Wow, and going over this is taking me back to, I've always studied sales and marketing, business management. And so this is like really taking me back to some familiar words and definitions. External financing. Many businesses need more capital than can be provided by the owners themselves. And in this case, a range of options is available, including angel investors, what we mentioned earlier, and what I've done shows about angel investors and venture capital investors. And angel investors, venture capital. Now we have crowdfunding, hedge funds, and alternative asset management happening. Some of these sources provide not only funds, but also financial oversight, accountability for carrying out tasks and meeting milestones, and in some cases, business contacts and experience. And that's very important. Business contacts and experience among, you know, your friends that you network with in person online go a long way. if you really effectively network with the, those people, right? In many cases, in return for equity state. Then, you know, there's other areas in entrepreneurship that can be zeroed in on to, for you to study and research, and especially areas that you feel you need to really focus on. And, you know, just basically being basic entrepreneur. Then there's the areas of business opportunity. You know, we like to create opportunities and we like to seek opportunities, right? Then very important, the business plan. If you're a new startup company or a veteran, and some veteran business might say, well, I've been in business 30 years, I don't need a business plan. But I have really found out that it is important to have a business plan. I need to be working on like two, three business plans like right now. I need to be like complete working on my business plan. I mean, I have business plans, but I need to revise them, and then I need to be focused on business plans, getting it done. But you know, there are certain areas that I felt kind of uncomfortable, and attending one of the small business SBA meetings, loan tenants, you know, I talked about my discomfort in certain areas, like the financial projection area. But, you know, that's what projections are, you project. So it's okay to be, you know, it's okay. You just don't be so grandiose with the projection. That's what I was, you know, told. And then there's, let's see, corporate social entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship ecosystem, entrepreneurship education, junior enterprise. When I was in high school, I was nominated and elected to be vice president of production, part of our junior achievement project. And, you know, that was my last year of school. I graduated early, and my only classes that I had my senior year was my history class and my economic class, because those are like my favorite, a couple of my favorite top subjects when I was in high school, and of course now. And then there's university spinoffs. So, you know, crowdfunding, that's something that that you hear come off everyone's lips now. And I won't go, we know about angel investors, we know about venture capitalists, a lot of us know about hedge funds and alternative asset management. And the crowdfunding, that right there, so some of us are experts in it, some of us are still learning the ropes about hedge funds. Now, wait a second. I need to get back. But for some reason, I need to get my computer back online. So I don't want to have too much of a pause while I'm working on getting back online. So I'm getting my computer back online. I love to share something really nice. There's a quote that I have just spotted, and this quote is by Eric Hoffer, and it says that we are made kind by being kind. Interesting, isn't it? Because how can you be kind if you're not being kind, right? So we are made kind by being kind. I love amazing quotes. So I am working on getting back online. Right quick. So see, be patient with me. I know, how did I make that happen? What happened to happen? But my Comcast internet is off, so I'm utilizing my T-Mobile internet. And I need to replace my modem. Lightning struck the residence, and cable worked, but the internet and phone service does not. So I need to replace the modem. So thank God I have my T-Mobile internet service to back me up. And be sure to hook up with SBA. Visit SBA.gov. And you can search your state. Now, the state of Mississippi is Mississippi. Rosetta then hooked me up with the Dallas area SBA office. But just go ahead and search your state. More than likely, it's the initials of your state, SBA.gov/, like if you're in Tennessee, 10, New York, NY. And, you know, go ahead and sign up so you can be informed on what's going on regarding, like, loan events, workshops, and loan clinics that's happening in your state. And, again, I'm going to try to delve into a little bit of crowdfunding. Like, when you hear my friend Lance, the filmmaker, call in, and he's talking about Indiegogo and Kickstarter, those are examples of crowdfunding. And then when you hear, like, Ariel Hyatt, a well-known music media publicist, she talked about the importance of crowdfunding and how effective it is in getting money. Because I'm thinking I need to do some crowdfunding, too. Not only apply for a express loan for my business endeavors, like my invention idea and my other business ideas, but also, you know, do some crowdfunding. But you see from celebrities to cut and throat, crowdfunding. But that's been amazing right there. Let's see why this is coming up. Let's see if I can. Here's another quote that is good. What is morally wrong cannot be politically right. And that is a quote from William Gladstone. So that's something. So it's good. I already knew that this is going to be two parts. Okay, now this is good because this is delving into different arenas of crowdfunding. Crowdfunding, ultimately crowd financing equity, crowdfunding, crowdsource fundraising. It's a collective effort of individuals who network and pool their money, usually via the internet, to support efforts initiated by other people or organizations. Crowdfunding is used in support of a wide variety of activities, including disaster relief. Because if you visit Indiegogo, you see crowdfunding not only for films and filmmakers, but for inventions. You see people that need to maybe have surgery. You see different types of crowdfundraising for different types of things, for business, for personal reasons, whatever. But it goes on to say that crowdfunding is used in support of a wide variety of activities, including disaster relief, citizen journalism, support of artists by fans, political campaigns, startup companies funding, motion picture promotion, free software development, inventions, development, scientific research, and civic projects. Crowdfunding can also refer to the funding of a company by selling small amounts of equity to many investors. This form of crowdfunding has recently received attention from policymakers in the United States, with direct mention in the Jobs Act, legislation that allows for a wider pool of small investors with fewer restrictions. While the Jobs Act awaits implementation, hybrid models such as Mosaic, Inc. are using existing security laws to enable the public in approved states to invest directly in clean energy projects as part of a crowd. Crowdfunding has its origins in the concept of crowdsourcing, which is the broader concept of an individual reaching a goal by receiving and leveraging small contributions from any party. Crowdfunding is the application of this concept to the collection of funds through small contributions from many parties in order to finance a particular project or venture. So again, crowdfunding is the application of this concept to the collection of funds through small contributions from many parties in order to finance a particular project or venture. Crowdfunding models involve a variety of participants. They include the people of organizations that propose ideas and are processed to be funded, and the crowd of people who support the proposals. Crowdfunding is then supported by an organization, the platform which brings together the project initiator and the crowd. And then they break it down, too, into, like, the role of the crowd, crowdfunding platforms, crowdfunding applications, philanthropy and civic projects, intellectual property. You know, that's really important. Patent disputes, the pros and cons of crowdsourcing and crowdfunding, benefits for the creator, risk and barriers for the creator. And then it goes into the investment crowdfunding. Then they go into the United States, of course, federal legislation, state legislation, crowdfunding services, and, of course, crowdfunding across these in UK, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Australia, Germany, Canada, Italy, and so on. And then we're going to know a little bit more. I'm just going to talk a little bit more because we're going to run out of time. Okay, good. This topic is two-part. We do want to talk a little bit about the NFL and sports. An early precursor of the crowdfunding business model was prenumeration, a subscription business model, which was used in the 17th century to finance book prints. Similar to crowdfunding, an additional benefit to donors was offered, like they mentioned it on the title page. You know, like with Indiegogo, there's the perks. So they had their perks, too, like back in the 17th century. In 1884, the American Committee for the Statue of Liberty ran out of funds for the statue's pedestal. Newspaper publisher Joseph Pulitzer, urged the American public to donate money toward the pedestal in his newspaper, New York World. Pulitzer, like the Pulitzer Prize, right, raised over $100,000 in 6 months. More than 125,000 people contributed to the cause, with most donations being a dollar or less. In 1997, bands underwrote an entire U.S. tour for the British rock band Marillion, raising $60,000 in donations by means of fan-based internet campaign. The idea was conceived and managed by the fans without any involvement by the band. Although Marillion has since used this method with great success as a way to fund the recording and marketing of its albums from Anorexia Nova Phobia. Yeah, so I've seen people raise monies for their albums on Kickstarter and so on in no time. Marvels in 2004, Happiness is the Road 2009, To Sounds That Can't Be Made 2012. The United States-based company ArtistShare, referred to as a pioneering crowd-financing platform, was started in 2001, followed later by sites such as Pledgy, 2006, Celeband, 2006, Indiegogo, 2008, GiveFord, 2008, Kickstarter, 2009, Rocket Hub, 2009, FundLeak, 2009, GoFundMe, that's a popular one, all of these are popular, 2010, AppSplit, 2010, MicroVentures, 2010, ThunderGeek, 2011, Electric Ill Shock, a Japanese rock band who toured the world, became one of the first bands by a previous significant, a recording deal to fully embrace crowdfunding. In 2004, the unsigned band, they raised £10, from 100 fans, the Summer Raw 100, by offering them guest list for life. 2 years later, they became the fastest band to raise $50,000 budget through Celeband. They licensed the album internationally, including Universal in their native Japan. In the film industry, independent writer, director, Mark Tapio Kynes, who design a website for his then-unfinished first feature, Foreign Correspondent. In 1997, by early 1999, he raised more than $125,000 over the Internet from at least 25 fans, providing him with the funds to complete his film. Franny Armstrong later created a donation system for her feature film, The Age of Stupid, for 5 years from 2004 to 2009. She raised, like 1.5 pounds, 500,000 pounds, 1,500,000 pounds. I'm hoping I'm reading that correctly. In December 2004, French entrepreneurs and producers Benjamin Pomerade and Guillaume Kobach launched a public internet donation campaign to fund their short science fiction film, The Man Lazdell, Waiting for Yesterday. Within 3 weeks, they managed to raise $50,000 allowing them to shoot the film. Adopted Classroom, founded in 1996, documented as the first crowdfunding website for education. According to WordSpy, the earliest use of the word crowdfunding was on Michael Sullivan and Fundablog in August 2006. The most successful crowdfunding project to date is Star Citizen, a massively multiplayer online video game been developed by Chris Roberts and Cloud Imperium Games, which as August 1st, 2013, has raised an excess of $15 million, comfortably beating the previous $10,266,844 record set by Pebble Watch. I know, that's me. I'm laughing at myself. So I'm getting these numbers up. There are questions about the legality of taking money from investors without offering any of the security demanded by conventional business schemes. Sites such as Celaban have a failed safe. They hold funds in an escrow account. If the nominated target isn't reached, all funds are returned to contributors. In contrast, some sites, such as ArtistShare, allow projects to keep all the funds raised. That's how Indiegogo is. If you don't reach your goal, you can't keep money raised. Investors are given something for their money, so in a legal sense, they have paid for and received something. Rewards range from having the backer's name in the credits, an initial shot at the project itself, even some cases, revenue returns. Micropatronage is a system in which the public directly supports the work of others by making donations through the Internet. In use as early as 2001, the term was popularized in 2005 by blogger Jason Kottke. When he quit his day job as a web designer and spent a year blogging full-time, living off the voluntary donations of his readership, micropatronage differs from traditional patronage systems by allowing many patrons to donate small amounts, but then a small number of patrons making large contributions. And this is what I like to see and talk about. The role of the crowd, the inputs of the individuals in the crowd, trigger to crowdfunding process and influence the ultimate value of the offerings or outcomes of the process. Each individual acts as an agent of the offering, selecting and promoting the project in which they believe. They will sometimes play a donor role oriented towards providing help on social projects. In some cases, they will become shareholders and contribute to the development and growth of the offerings. Each individual disseminates information about projects they support in their online communities, generating further support. Promoters. Motivation versus develop participation, being for the feeling of being at least partly responsible for the success of others' initiatives, desire for patronage, striving to be a part of communal social initiatives, desire for social participation, and seeking a payoff for monetary contributions, desire for investment. An individual who takes part in a crowdfunding initiative tends to reveal conservative traits, innovative orientation, which stimulates the desire to try new modes of interacting with firms and other consumers. Much identification of content, content, projects selected, the funding, sparks the desire to be part of the initiative, monetary exploitation, which motivates the individual to participate by expecting a payout. Crowdfunding platforms. And as of 2012, there were 450 crowdfunding platforms. Project creators need to do their own due diligence in order to understand which platform is the best to use, depending on the type of project they want to launch. And again, we see everyday people. We see some of our favorite celebrities, like just like Lance was talking when he called Dan Dean, or Dan Filmmaker was talking when he called in Sunday night about Spike Lee. My friend Morris Mills, you know, Spike Lee has a project on Kickstarter. James Franco, you know, well-known actor, director, writer, artist. You know, he has projects on, recently had projects on Indiegogo in support of three films that he will make based on the stories of his hometown, Palo Alto, outside of San Francisco. And like Shamar's working on like a love story, I believe. And then, you know, and of course, Dean, he supports many projects on Indiegogo also. And I even have a profile on Indiegogo. To, you know, create and support and create my own campaigns and to support other campaigns. So it's just an amazing way for people to directly interact with others and spread the word regarding their campaigns and so others to also seek to, you know, to support campaigns. It's all about basically networking, right? Right. So it goes on to say that, for instance, CryCube and Cedars are both internet platforms that enable small companies to issue shares over the internet and receive small investments from registered users in return. While CryCube is meant for users to invest small amounts and acquire shares directly in startup companies, Cedars, on the other hand, I know it's a website that you need to visit, and even I need to visit a couple like CryCube and Cedars. CryCube is CROWDQ, and Cedars is SEDDRS. On the other hand, pools the funds to invest in new businesses as a nominated agent. Crowdfunding platforms serve as network orchestrators. They create the necessary organizational systems and conditions for resource integration among other players to take place. Relational mediators act as intermediary between supply and demand. Example, Celeban Kidstore. They replace traditional intermediaries such as traditional record companies. Exactly. And venture capitalists. These platforms link new artists, designers, project initiators with committed supporters who believe in the persons behind the project strong enough to provide monetary support. Growth engines focus on the strong inclusion of investors. They disintermediate by eliminating the activities of a service provider previously involved in the network. These platforms that use crowdfunding to seek stakes from a community of high net worth private investors and match them directly with project initiators. Crowdfunding applications. Crowdfunding has been experimented with as a fund mechanism for mechanism. Oh my goodness, one of my, you know, I'm sole proprietor of two companies, a Check Entertainment and Image Mechanisms, and I'm here I am saying mechanism correctly, as a funding mechanism for creative works such as blogging and journalism, music independent film, and for funding a startup company. Community music labels are usually for-profit organizations where fans assume the traditional financial role of a record label for artists they believe in by funding the recording process. The pioneer crowdfunding in the film industry, Spanner Films have published a useful how-to guide. Innovative new platforms such as Rocket Hub have emerged to combine traditional funding, the creative work with branded crowdfunding, helping artists and entrepreneurs unite with brands by the need for a middleman. Crowdlending from non-banks is gaining momentum globally as banks have increased interest rates or pulled back from lending to the consumer and small businesses. However, as early 2012, the non-bank sector of crowdlending was yet to be considered a threat. The big consumer lending businesses of the largest global banks. And then there's the philanthropy and civic projects. A variety of crowdfunding platforms have emerged to allow ordinary web users to support specific projects without the need for large amounts of money. I need to drink water, my tongue is not going right without water. Global giving allows individuals to browse through a selection of small projects proposed by non-profit organizations worldwide, donating funds to projects of their choice. Microcredit crowdfunding platforms such as Kiva or organization in Wolcott facilitate crowdfunding loans managed by micro-credit organizations in developing countries. Philanthropic, that's what I was trying to say. The U.S.-based nonprofit Zadisa offers a new twist on these themes, applying a direct person-to-person lending model to microcredit lending for low income. And see, when you attend a small business, when you study on the Small Business Administration's website, and when you sign up for certain clinics and workshops to go to, I mean, they go into a lot of that. Microcredit lending for low income and small business owners in developing countries, Zadisha borrowers who pass a background check may post microloan applications directly on the Zadisha website. Specify proposed credit terms and interest rates. Individual web users in the U.S. and Europe can lend as little as $1. And so, oh yeah, I've seen stories about this right here on CNN throughout the years. Zadisha's crowdfunding platform allows lenders and borrowers to engage in direct dialogue. I heard that this is like one of the first crowdfunding projects I had heard about like years ago on business channels and on CNN. A repay principal interest is returned to the lender who will withdraw cash or use it to fund new loans. Some organizations try to make crowdfunding playful. Raise 5 allows individuals to micro-volunteer as a way to fundraise small amounts of money, and Charity Kick has used its microfund dares. Intellectual property exposure. One of the challenges of posting new ideas on crowdfunding sites is there may be little or no intellectual property protection. And see, that's what's scary. IP protection provided by the sites themselves. Once an idea is posted, it can be copied. As Slava Rubin, founder of Indiegogo, said, we get asked all the time, how do you protect me from someone stealing my idea? We're not liable for any of that stuff. Inventor advocates such as Simon Brown, founder of the UK-based United Innovation Association, counsel that their ideas can be protected on crowdfunding sites through early filing of patent applications. Use of copyright and trademark protection as well as a new form of ID protection supported by the World Intellectual Property Organization called Creative Barcode. But that's one thing that I've mentioned to my project manager with Davidson regarding my invention idea that we're working on. And I was like, well, you know, I really need to do the capital for my samples to present to companies. You know, I can't go into details, you know, I'm in a confidential agreement contract, but you know, because I'm limited, and for good reason, what I can say, why I need the money for this invention idea, but can't go all out talking about your ideas and the risk of someone getting your ideas. But you know, working on the patents and all that, and this has been an idea that I've been working on 20 plus years. So you know, but that's a so you really have to, when it comes to subjects like that, you have to really, I guess, pray on it if you're a praying person. You know, either don't do it, think, you know, go another route, apply for a loan or grant or something, I don't know. But that is scary right there in that area. It's like, dang if you do, dang if you don't. I said dang. And it goes on to say that counsel that ideas can be protected on crowdfunding sites through early filing the patent application, use of copyright and trademark. Yeah, I finished that. Trademark protection as well as a new form of idea protection supported by the World Intellectual Property Organization called Creative Barcode. Okay, patent disputes. On September 30, 2011, the crowdfunding site Kickstarter filed a request for a declaratory judgment against fan-funded who owns U.S. patent US 788-5887, methods and apparatuses for financing and marketing creative work. Brian Camilio, founder of ArtShare, is the inventor on the patent. Kickstarter says they believe under threat of patent infringement lawsuits, Kickstarter has asked that the patent be invalidated, or at the very least that the court find that Kickstarter is not liable for infringement. In February 12, FanFunded responded to Kickstarter's complaint, notably claiming that patent infringement litigation was never threatened. The artist should merely approach Kickstarter about licensing their platform, including patent rights, and that rather than responding to artist share's request for a kind of proposal, Kickstarter filed this lawsuit. And then they go on to talk about the pros and cons and benefits for a creator dealing with crowdfunding campaigns. And the crowdfunding campaigns provide producers with a number of benefits beyond the strict financial gains. The following are non-financial benefits of crowdfunding. The first bullet point says that profile, a compelling project can raise the producer's profile, provide a boost to their reputation. And then the second bullet point goes to say that marketing, project initiators can show there is an audience and market for their project. In the case of an unsuccessful campaign, provides a good market feedback. And then there's bullet point number three, audience engagement. Crowdfunding creates a forum where project initiators can engage with the audiences. Audience can engage in the production process by following progress through updates from the creators and share feedback via comment features on the project's crowdfunding page. And then there's the feedback. I know when I created my campaign page on Indiegogo, I received private messages and people that wanted to show support when I had created a rent party campaign. Feedback offering pre-release access to content or the opportunity to beta test content to project backers as a part of the funding incentive provides the project initiators with instant access to good market testing feedback. Proponents of the crowdfunding approach argue that it allows good ideas which do not fit the pattern required by conventional financiers to break through and attract cash through the wisdom of the crowd. If it does achieve traction in this way, not only can the enterprise secure seed funding to begin its project, but it may also secure evidence of backing from potential customers and benefit from word-of-mouth promotion in order to reach the fundraising goal. Another potential positive effect is the propensity of groups to produce an aggregate prediction about market outcomes as identified by author James Zurricki in his book, The Wisdom of Crowds, thereby placing financial backing behind ventures likely to succeed. Proponents also identify potential outcome of crowdfunding as an exponential increase in available venture capital. One report claims that if every American family gets 1% of their investable assets to crowdfunding, $300 billion, that's 10 times the increase, will come into venture capital. Proponents also cite that a benefit for companies receiving a crowdfunding support is that they retain control of their operations as voting rights are not conveyed along with ownership with crowdfunding. Risk and barriers of the creator. Crowdfunding also comes the number of potential risks or barriers. Number one, bulletproof is reputation, failure to meet campaign goals or to generate interest result in a public failure. Reaching financial goals and successfully gathering substantial public support but being unable to deliver on a project for some reason and severely negatively impact one's reputation. And then there's IP protection. Many interactive digital media developers and content producers are reluctant to publicly announce the details of a project before production due to concerns about idea theft and protecting their IP intellectual property from plagiarism. And then there's the bulletproof number three, donor exhaustion. There's a risk that if the same network of supporters is reached out to multiple times, the network eventually ceases to supply necessary support. And then there's public fear of abuse, concern among supporters that without a regulatory framework, the likelihood of a scam of abuse of funds is high. The concern may become a barrier to public engagement. Difficulty in assessing funds. Crowdfunding projects that use PayPal to collect their funds are increasingly finding it difficult to withdraw the money they have raised. Most notable projects are Oya, GlassUp, a rival to Google Glass. For crowdfunding of equity stock purchases, there is some research in social psychology that indicates that, like all investments, people don't always do their due diligence to determine a sound investment before investing, which leads to making investment decisions based on emotion rather than financial logic. Crowdfunding draws a crowd, investors, and other interested observers to follow the progress or lack of progress of a project. Sometimes it proves easier to raise the money for a project and to make the project a success. Managing communications, promotion of, or possibly disappoint investors and supporters can be substantial and potentially diverting tasks. And then, I'm just going to talk a little bit more because it's time to into the program. Investment crowdfunding. Traditional crowdfunding platforms such as ArtistShare and Kickstarter treat funds as donations, while entrepreneurs and others stand crowdfunding as a good way of securing investment. However, this brings up the possibility of getting ensnared in various securities laws, such as soliciting investments from the public. General public is most often illegal unless the opportunity has been filed with an appropriate securities regulatory authority, such as the Securities and Exchange Commission in the U.S., the Ontario Securities Commission, Ontario Canada, the Autorité des Marchés Financiers in France, and Quebec, Canada, are the Financial Services Authority in the U.K. These regulators can have different ways of determining what is and what is not security, but a general rule one can rely on, at least in the U.S., is the Howey test. The Howey test says that a transaction constitutes an investment contract, therefore security. If there is, number one, an exchange of money, number two, with an expectation of profits arising, three, from a common enterprise, four, which depends solely on the efforts of a promoter or third party. Clearly, under this standard, any crowdsourcing arrangement in which people are asked to contribute money in exchange for potential profits based on the work of others would be considered a security. As such, the applicable investment contract has to be registered for a regulatory agency such as the SEC unless it qualifies for one of several rule-laden exemptions. Example, Regulation A of Rule 506 of Regulation D of the Securities Act of 1933 are the California Limited Offering Exemption Rule 1001, also known as SEC Rule 1001. The penalties for a securities violation can very greatly depend in large part on the amount of profit obtained by the promoter, quote-unquote, the damage done to the investors, and whether a violation is a first-time offense. However, a violation may result in both civil and criminal penalties in return of any profit made and sometimes a lifetime ban from the work in the securities industry. According to the Section 5 of the Securities Act, it's illegal to sell any securities unless such a sale is accompanied or preceded by a prospectus that meets the requirements of the Securities Act. Selling investments via crowdfunding has been called crowdfunding investing, CFI, crowd investing, or even simply crowdfunding as in legalized crowdfunding. Some have called for standardization of the terminology in a way that distinguishes the practice from other forms of crowdfunding. Investment crowdfunding can be debt-based or equity-based. I can follow other models, including profit-sharing and hybrid models. Debt-based crowdfunding allows a group of individual or institutional lenders to lend funds to individuals or businesses in return for interest payment on top of capital repayment, also known as peer-to-peer lending or peer-to-business lending. Borrowers must demonstrate creditworthiness and the capability to repay the debt, make it unsuitable for NINA, N-I-N-A, or startups. Active platforms include RebuildingSociety.com. Excuse me, I tell you, I need some water. Action-based crowdfunding, also known as hyperfunding, is a mechanism that enables broad groups of investors to fund startup companies and small businesses in turn for equity. Investors give money to business and receive ownership of a small piece of that business, equity and or debt. If the business succeeds, then its value goes up and so does the value of the share of that business. The converse is also true. Coverage of equity-based crowdfunding indicates that the potential is greatest with startup businesses. Also, who are seeking small investments to launch and that additional follow-on funding required for rapid growth may come from other sources. And then, since we're talking about the United States also, and you know my friends across the world, you all know to go to your country, to your area, small business authorities and just you know, follow the same guidelines. Thanks in part to the crowdfunding exemption movement, the Jobs Act was signed into law by President Obama, remember that, on April 5th, 2012. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has been given approximately 27 days to set forth specific rules and guidelines and enact this legislation, while also ensuring the protection of investors. Some rules have been proposed by the SEC. The bill went through a number of amendments, and on April 5th, 2012, President Barack Obama signed the Jobs Act into law. The legislation mandates that funding portals must can invest in crowdfunding intermediaries. An issuer may sell up to 1 million of its securities for 12 months, and depending upon the net worth and income, investors will be permitted to invest up to 100,000 crowdfunding issues for 12 months. An independent financial statement review by CPA firms required for raises 100,000 to 500,000. An independent financial statement audit by CPA firms is required for raises over 500,000. The SEC is now drafting regulations to implement the equity and debt crowdfunding provisions of the bill. The original deadline for regulation was January 2013, and in parallel to the SEC regulations, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, also known as FINRA, is creating additional rules to relate to a member's firm engaged in crowdfunding. And then they go on to talk about state legislation, where some people see the federal crowdfunding legislation as unworkable, and several U.S. states have recently enacted and are considering their own crowdfunding exemption laws to facilitate intrastate investment offerings that are already exempt from federal SEC regulation. And these include the Invest Kansas exemption, which is effective August 2011, and the Invest Georgia exemption effective December 12, and also at $1 million and $10K cap. And as of April 2013, the states of Washington and Carolina had considered their own crowdfunding exemptions. And then they go on to talk about the Crowdfunding Services. The Jobs Act enables equity-based crowdfunding when it is conducted by a licensed broker-dealer or via a funding portal registered with the SEC. Many crowdfunding services have rushed to fill this role, and the space is evolving rapidly. Early portal co-founder closed before SEC guidelines to release an equity portal. Early shares acquired charity portal helpers tonight. Many portals have also consulted the SEC on its guidelines. The first portal operating in the U.S. and geared towards small businesses found in 2010 by Alessandro Cremens and Tanya Prive, and is operating under the name of Roth & Post. And in the U.K., Abundance Generation is the first regulated crowdfunding platform in the U.K. to be regulated by the Financial Services Authority, now the Financial Conduct Authority. It was approved in July 2011 and launched to the public in 2012. Abundance Generation provides debt finance to UK-based renewable energy developers. And on July 6, 2012, Cedars Limited launched as the first equity crowdfunding platform to receive regulatory approval anywhere in the world from financial services. In August 2012, Richard Branson announced his support of the Telegraph for crowdfunding, crowd investing, crowd lending platform, BankToTheFuture.com. In February 23rd, CryCube, who launched in 2011, became SFSA authorized. And then there's crowdfunding subjects covered in, regarding Sweden and Norway. I have a lot of online friends in Sweden and Norway, and also Finland. They talk about crowdfunding portal that was launched in Finland in May 2012 by Investor. In Australia, crowdfunding has a desperate activity. It's not prohibited in Australia. Crowdfunding. And then in Germany, after two smaller projects in 2010, 2011 could be considered the first successful year for crowdfunding in Germany. The first platforms were Incubato, My Sherpa, Plink, Startnix, and Vision Bakery. The largest crowdfunding project so far was launched by the company Brainpool, December 11, for the movie, the successful TV series Stromberg. The company wanted to collect 1 million euros by March 2012. Within 1 week, the total amount of 1 million euros was reached. And then various national but also regional platforms were found, such as Crowd Berlin, Neustarter for Hamburg, and Dresden Dirtstarter. Additional specialized niche sites, mainly for games that musicians are entering the market. And then in Canada, although Canada has its own crowdfunding portals, none of these currently allow equity crowdfunding. In June of this year, the Ontario Securities Commission announced that it was allowing an Ontario-only portal for accredited investors. And then in Italy, July this year, Italy becomes the first country in Europe to adopt a complete regulation on crowdfunding, which establishes a national registry for crowdfunding operators and allows equity crowdfunders. Shout out to all of my friends who are Italian and who are in Italy also. I like to shout out my friends from all around the world, in America, and abroad. So That is, I know that entrepreneurship covers so much. And, again, crowdfunding is a hot topic everywhere. And every time, like I said, every time Dean or other guests or some people call in, they're talking about some form of crowdfunding, right? And you always see our favorite celebrities or people in our community say, hey, visit their campaign, right? So I felt that I felt obligated to go in and talk about that. So, wow. And it's some hot topics out now, some headline stories out now that I am checking out in regards to entrepreneurship and entrepreneur education and all of that. So the story continues, and so we will continue talking about Monday we're going to be talking a lot about the U.S. job market. But, you know, today we want to talk about the entrepreneurship. And so they go hand in hand, free enterprise system, entrepreneurship, job market. Because talking about the definition of entrepreneurship, I was talking a lot about job creation also. So, but it's good to cover the basics sometimes, and I'm glad I did, because I think some people want to know more about crowdfunding, and that was just the basics. And I'm looking at information now by Global Entrepreneurship Week and other information. So basically, you can just Google a lot of things that you want to know about being an entrepreneur, and especially in your area, like, you know, Google about entrepreneurs topics in your area, wherever you are worldwide, to know more about, you know, entrepreneur and getting into small business. So, hey, you know, I've been talking about the James Franco movie that was made here last autumn, last September, October, in the fall. And guess what? James Franco is returning. And the film that he made here, based on the Will Faulkner's book, As I Lay Dying, you know, it hits the theaters in September 27th, limited. And he's coming back. Casting call for characters, not background actresses and extras, but for characters for the film that will be made this autumn. Directed by James Franco. He's doing it again. He's directing another film based on a Will Faulkner book, The Sound and the Fury. And I had heard him talk on various interviews that he's making a film and would be at a film this fall, but I had no idea he was coming back to Mississippi. So Morgan Katzen is casting this film also, where the owner of Morgan Katzen is a native of Kansas. So on tomorrow, on Saturday, there will be a casting call in Canton for kids and young people in their early 20s, like from 17 to 20 and early 20s, a casting call for, and these are character roles, not a background and extra roles, for the next, and for, you know, Caucasian and African-American black kids also. So you go to Facebook page, Morgan Casting, and also go to Mississippi Film Office Facebook page, and I also have shared the information also on my social networking site, and you will see all the information. I am going to do my best to pull it up and share the information with you also in regards to what you parents need to do and you kids need to do. If you want to get a role, audition for a role in yet another James Franco directed film, a film that he will be starring in. And again, As I Lay Dying will be released at the end of the month. So right when this film last year is hitting the theaters, he will be directing yet another film. Here in the Jackson, Mississippi area must be Canton again. So this is amazing, and thank you to him for choosing Mississippi again, because he didn't have to. So he must have really liked his experience here, and the actors that he directed and worked with, and the crew, and all must like what we have to offer here. So thank you so much for picking Mississippi again. This is just so awesome and just so cool. So I'm going to do my best to share with you also the information too, but you go straight to Morgan Caston page and Mississippi Film Office page, and also you can go to filmmississippi.org, sign up to receive their newsletters and information also. So I'm looking at my email so I can read this info off to you. I first received my email from Mississippi Film Office, and then our ABC affiliate, 16WABT News, shared stories that the casting call will be happening on Saturday in regards to kids and young people for yet another film based on one of Wim Faulkner's books. And again, directed by James Franco, and starring James Franco again. So I think it's awesome. He's one of the hardest working, multi-talented actors, performers out there. I mean, he writes, he acts, he directs, he's an artist, he teaches, you know, he's a professor. I think this is, I mean, he needs to teach us on time management, how to manage all you know, how to manage things. So let me get this info up for you guys so I can share it with you. Cause I have a lot of friends, and some of you with kids, I mean, if you really see the, you know, your kid want to be an actor or actress, or want to, you want them to be, what are you waiting for? Contact them, send your kids headshots in, and give them the proper information, and even show up at the casting call on tomorrow. I mean, my goodness, if I had kids that were teenagers and early 20s, we would be there with bells ringing. Most definitely. So definitely, you know, if that's what they want to do, if that's something that seems like they're interested in. And what's so funny, you always hear stories about people that, oh, I just went to the audition, and that's what happened. I got the film. Here it is. Let me share this information with you. There's no experience required for these parts. So, look, a new star can be discovered because you don't because the young actors, the young thespians, do not have to have experience. So, because you know you'll be trained and taught and all that, but the roles are for like the younger versions of the characters in the film. Okay, casting call, independent feature film, Saturday, August 17th, 2013, in Canton, Mississippi. Morgan Canton seeks kids and young adults for an upcoming film project shooting in Central Mississippi this fall. No experience necessary. Now, please contact Sound and Fury Casting, SoundandFurySting at Gmail for additional information or questions. Now, auditions will be tomorrow, August 17th, from 10 a.m. And I say, have your behind there at 9. You know, that's what I'm saying. Be there early, bright and early. The corner house, 252 East P Street, Canton, Mississippi, 39046. Again, auditions will be on tomorrow, Saturday, August the 17th, from 10 to 3. The Corner House, 252 East P Street, Canton, Mississippi, 39046. And this is not an open call for background or extras, but only for roles listed below. Number one, Benji, a Caucasian boy around 5 years of age. Number two, Jason, a Caucasian boy, 5 to 7 years of age. Three, Caddy, a Caucasian girl, 9 to 10 years of age, thinking redheads are blondes willing to go red if need to be. Now, be willing to change your hair. Hey, be willing to change your hair red. live streaming is about to stop in about 10 seconds, but the show will continue on. Okay, then there's Quentin, number 4. The 4-4-old, Caucasian born from 10 to 11 years of age. Then there's number 5, Luster, African-American boy. My friends out there with African-American boys 10 to 14 years of age, have them there. And then there's another role for African-American guys, Verse. The guy is 17 between 20 years of age should audition. And then there's number 7, Franny A., African-American girl between the ages of 8 and 10. And then there's number 8, Franny B., African-American female from late teens to very early 20s. Okay? So those are the characters. Those are whom are needed. Benji, a Caucasian boy around 5. Jason, a Caucasian boy between the ages of 5 and 7. Katie, a Caucasian girl, 9-10. Thinking redhead, strawberry blonde, the blondes willing to go red, is me. Quentin, Caucasian boy, 10 and 11 years of age. Luster, African American boy, 10 to 14. Verse, African American guys, between 17 to 20. African American girls, between 8 and 10. That would be Franny. And Franny B, it's Franny A is the African American girl from 8 to 10. And Franny B is for African American females. Age from late teens to very early 20s. And again, email soundandfurycasting@gmail.com a photo with the following info. Number 1, a name. Number 2, age and date of birth for the kids. Both please. Name number 1, age and date of birth. Age and date of birth. Not just age, not just date of birth, but age and DOB, date of birth. Number 3, city and state in which you live in. Where do you live? Where do you and your kids live? Where do your kids live? Okay, then the best contact numbers, the numbers that they can contact you. You know, they need to call you for a callback, right? They need to call you for a callback or to say, hey, that's okay. You know, they need to call you, and you never, like, ASAP. And so you don't want to miss your opportunity. And then number 5, if you are represented or no agent. So when you do send an email, I want you all to make sure you provide the proper information. Email, number 1, name. Number 2, age and DOB of your kids. 3, the city and state in which you live in. 4, the best contact numbers. I'm talking about the numbers that they can get to contact you immediately. Number 5, be sure to say if you are represented or quote-unquote no agent. And then also there's a Facebook page also. You know, I told you to go to the Facebook page. But check that out, and best of luck, you guys. And remember, you can also visit FemMississippi.org and sign up to receive FemMississippi.org newsletters and to look at the production guide, directory, and all of that. It's just a wealth of information there on that website. And a big shout out to Ward Emily and the staff who's been doing a wonderful job throughout the years. But again, that's the email that I received. Channel 16, I'm sure the other networks are reporting it too, on where you can go to audition for, hey, another independent project. And it's good to see an awesome, super busy actor, director, come back to the state of Mississippi. So Mississippi must be doing something right. And that's just amazing. And I was super glad you guys hear me talking about the Franco guys, the Franco family. And I think today is his mother's birthday, Betsy Franco. So happy birthday to James and Dave and Tom's mother. Happy birthday also. So I told them, James earlier on Facebook, I'm like, oh, so your mom and I share a birthday. Because the whole family is just little grandmom and the mom, and it was a lot with Dave and with James. Tom, I haven't, but it's good when people interact with others. You know, we all are human, so that's good when you are able to be human regardless of if you're of who you are and interact and work with people. And so that's just a blessing right there. And so we're just anticipating the release of the movie that's coming out in September. So, oh, wow. So it's been a lot going on, but it's time to, I'm going to try to conclude. Maybe we can talk a little bit about some sports. Definitely we talk about sports on, you know, I'm broadcasting tomorrow. So instead of just talking about music and movies, we're going to talk about sports also. There's a couple of stories, a lot of stories that I haven't seen. But I hear that A-Rod will be playing at Fenway Park tonight, right before I came on. I saw that big story. And then here's the story, oh, a lot of stories at Bleacher Report. And I do have a blog at Bleacher Report. I need to resume my writing at Bleacher Report and Yara Barker. But they're talking about the Saints are looking at going back to the Super Bowl. A lot of teams looking at going to the Super Bowl. But I hope that the Saints and the Cowboys do their thing this year, most definitely. But, hey, you teams, all 32 of you, y'all in the same spot right now. You know, some of you, you know, one or two or lost one or two. But still, you all are in the position for this preseason. So you get an idea of what you got to deal with when it comes to the regular season. And I can't believe some people wanted, like, the preseason to be lessened because that is like rehearsal. Training camps and preseason games, that's like rehearsal for the big event, you know? So, wow. I'd like to love going to the camps here in Jackson when the Saints were practicing here. And then I would see the, like, what I had watched in camp. Then when I'm actually watching the game, it was just amazing to see what I had seen them practice before. It was just amazing. I know. I never been to an NFL game. I think I went to a game in Chicago. I believe it was the Chicago Bears. But to be honest, it was so much going on, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was up there for a push conference. And so, you know, when you're in, like, a press box with other people, I didn't get a chance to see what actually was going on with the game. So I hope to go to my first NFL game one day in the near future. Most definitely. But never, you know. I heard Jimmy Kimmel teasing this lady that was crying, and she went to the Redskins camp and didn't get an autograph. She thought it was going to be like an autograph session. And but at the Saints camp, and I think like other camps, I used to try to wonder how could these players practice so hard and then still be so friendly and sign autographs and talk and network with people. But you know, I thought all camps had like a time when they did sign autographs. But did y'all see that with Jimmy Kimmel? And that Redskin fan was really hurt because she didn't get an autograph from any of the Redskins. She thought it was going to be like an autograph session, but it was just, you know, it was camp. The guys was practicing. They weren't thinking about signing any autographs. And she just booed, and her video went viral. And so, and if you haven't seen the video, if you didn't see Jimmy Kimmel, just Google it. Go to YouTube and search for Redskin fan, disappointed Redskin fan, something like that. And this one was crying up a storm. And she didn't expect the video to go viral, but she put it on her Facebook page, and, like, a lot of her friends reshared it and spread it around, and then it became viral. And Jimmy Kimmel was just took a pink about how this woman reacted and everything. So it was something. So she was, like, telling on them. But don't any future other fans that I go to their camp, because you're not going to get an autograph, and you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that. Okay, and speaking of birthdays, our favorite celebrity's birthdays today before we conclude the show. We'll be broadcasting tomorrow. Might be early, might be afternoon, might be nighttime. I believe it'll be an afternoon show. It might be early a.m. I know you guys want to go just visit the profile. You'll see what time. The Monday show, of course, will be at 5:30. Today is Steve Carell's birthday. He is 51 today. Shimon Peres, Israeli politician, is 90. And black actress is 85. Frank Gifford, Kathy Lee. Today is Kathy Lee's birthday, too, isn't it? Yeah, so she and her husband celebrate their birthday together. Frank Gifford's birthday is 83. Tony Trabert, tennis Hall of Famer, is 83. Edie Gourmet, singer, 82. Julie Newman, actress, Batman, 80. Bob Balaban, actress, 68. Leslie Ann Warren, actress, 67. Carol Moses Braun, former U.S. Senator, Democrat, Illinois, 66. Kathy Lee Gifford, 60. James Cameron, director, Titanic, 59. Laura Innes, actress, ER, 56. Angela Bassett is a Leo, also she's 55. Timothy Hutton is 53. Actor Donovan Leitch, actor, singer, 46. Andy Mulder, actor, Weeds, 45. A country singer, Emily Robeson, the Dixie Chicks, is 41. Vanessa Carlton is 33. Rima Willis is 25. And happy birthday to Madonna, the Material Girl. Today is her birthday, and she is 55 years young also. So happy birthday, Madonna. And also, today was a sad day. I remember that day vividly. As a little girl who loved me some Elvis, on this day back in 77, Elvis Presley died at Graceland Mansion in Memphis, Tennessee, at the young age of 42 years old. In 1858, a telegraph message from Britain's Queen Victoria to President James Buchanan was transmitted over the recently laid transatlantic cable. And then also, T.E. Lawrence, the British soldier who gave fame as Lawrence of Arabia, was born in Trinidad, Wales. Baseball Hall of Famer Babe Ruth died at age 53. He was young. 1954, Sports Illustrated was first published by Time, Inc. Britain granted independence to Cyprus in 1960. 1988, Vice President George H.W. Bush tapped Indiana Senator Dan Quayle to be his running mate on the Republican ticket. 2000, delegates to the Democratic National Convention in Los Angeles nominated Vice President Al Gore for president. Michael Phelps won the 100-meter butterfly by 108, second for his seventh gold medal of the Beijing Olympics. Time marks Phelps' 1972 record, and that was back in 08. In 2008, talk show host Ellen DeGeneres and actress Portia de Rossi were married at their Beverly Hills, California home. In 2010, China eclipsed Japan as the world's second biggest economy after three decades of blistering growth. I love that. That's courtesy of DallasNews.com, Dallas Morning News, and AP Associated Press. I love Day in History. You know, there's one on YouTube also in regards to that. And my friends in Dallas, you guys have fun at the Maze Feature Frankie Beverly concert. That's in Dallas or Houston. I thought that was in Houston. I think Frankie Beverly's supposed to be coming here, too. I know it's doing Houston and Dallas on back-to-back. The email popped up, and I had been seeing yeah, the Bounce TV Airway Summer Music Festival starring Frankie Beverly and Maze. That is amazing. That band has been doing their thing. Southern Girls. Now, definitely need to profile all of some of these classic bands out there. Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. The Isley Brothers featuring Ronald and Ernie Isley. Kim, hosted by Off the Chance, Rodney Perry, who also hosts a show here at Blog Talk Radio, August 18th. And this is at the Geza Energy Pavilion in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday. So, and I think they're headed here, too. They're headed to Jackson. So you guys have fun. Those of you going to Frankie Beverly concert, my friends are going to see them in Houston and in Dallas. And I know they're here to hear too. But there's a blues, or a rhythm and blues festival going on here in Jackson this weekend, tonight and tomorrow, at the Ag Museum. So you guys have fun. Those of you that are in town to perform, and those of you that are attending the 2-day event, the kickoff event was last month, July, and so this is the main event happening at the, well, I think the vocal main event happening at the Ag Museum this weekend. And I believe Darius Rucker is coming to Jackson area on September 1st, peace-by event. And that should be a good event also. So there's a lot of things going on just all over the place, huh? You guys just keep me in the know, and I'll call in and talk about your event. Also, to send information, or just, you know, shoot me an email. Say, hey, I want some new show. Talk about these events that I got going on or that people need to know. And, you know, that's a good thing right there. Well, I know a lot, some of you are just working tirelessly to make sure that, you know, that we have some fun things to do. Various ways of being entertained. But Monday should be a good show, and then Wednesday should be a good show also. We'll be talking about when is it okay to keep secrets within your romance and your marriage and your relationship. And, you know, that conversation can go all kind of ways. All kind of ways. So, you know, y'all heard Ebony Empress and I talked on that before. So, let's have some music. And any more breaking news, I will mention before concluding the show. But it's been a blast. Been going on for almost 2 hours, so it is time to conclude. It's going to conclude on its own. But I had a feeling that I should have had my warning next to me. I had a feeling that that was going to go. And I have not looked in the chat room, and I have not looked at the call-in screen either. So my apologies if you had called in. But I was focusing on the basic definitions and defining entrepreneurship. And I know a lot of people wanted to hear the basics, especially about crowdfunding. And all of my contact info is on the profile. You can like the Culture Shock Entertainment Report Facebook page. A network on the page also, post positive information. And also, feel free to email me at cultureshockentertainment@yahoo.com, KULTURESHOKENTERTAINMEET, @yahoo.com. Music that's okay to play, and also information, or let me know that you want to be a future guest on the show, or I want to discuss a certain topic on the show. Also, because this is an entertainment lifestyle music show, we never run out of topics. You see, never run out of topics. Have to debate and juggle and decide what topic to talk about. And then no breaking news every day, because who wants to talk about Paula Deen? You know, her charges, part of the lawsuit, were dropped. Charges against her brother were not, but the race discrimination charges against her were dropped. So we want to talk about that in the near future. I already know some of the regulars want to talk about it. I already know this. But that would be, you know, that would be good, you know. I don't deny, I'm a big supporter of Paula Deen. But if she was guilty of that, you know, I have my own. But I know many of you cannot deny, because I'm a big supporter of a lot of the Food Network and Cooking Channel celebrity chefs. and some of you can't deny it, but I know some of you, you don't want people misbehaving and saying things they shouldn't be saying. But, you know, that's a good topic for us to talk about. We can talk about it on Monday also. But of course, Monday we're talking about, we're continuing the discussion regarding entrepreneurship and the U.S. job market. We're going to talk about the statistics and where the job market is good and where it's not so good, where it's up and where it's down, and just overall what's going on with the job market. You be sure to call in and share your perspective. That's what I like when the show. I like it when it's commentary style shows, but I love it when it's interactive style shows, calling in and in the chat room, and talking on Facebook and Twitter, etc. You know, that's a good thing also.
live and direct in your face once again.
7 for sure. Ain't gotta be bragging about how great I am in places I go. Just better believe the whole DM does show me loving for sure. I'm opening doors like I was joy with a transitional train. Wearing it heavily upon your brain like a positional frame. Keep them attacked on steady like dope boys standing in rain. So haters maintain in your own lane, making it simple and plain. And the shield posted up in the parking lot, pivoting their pins on things. Looking for more weedies to feed me, cause I'm a champion, man. And make no mistake, the weather illustrator be nothing shorter than Texas great. So hey, go on, pump it up in your legs, this is name.
Yeah.
you. You've been listening to the Friday edition of Cluster Shock Entertainment Report. Until next time, God bless. I am Beth, a.k.a. The Truth.